because these really are more evidence of being filled with the Spirit than anything else. If you have a person acting in joy and peace and long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, then you have a person that really expresses the attitude of God. And some of these things convict me. Because sometimes in my own home, sometimes if I say something that is it's off, well, not off color, but is not respecting my wife, for instance, in such a way, if I say some things that if she says, "What's the matter with you?" or something like that, and then I'll know right off the bat I've said something that obviously maybe not necessarily what I said, but the way I said it was an issue. And so I look back at that and I say, "Well, God, help me. Help me, because there's something wrong." I can still remember years ago, and I had been, you know, walked through this experience of being filled with the Spirit for years. And Debbie and I were sitting at the kitchen table, and we were talking, and she said to me, "Why are you so angry?" And I said to her, well, I stood right back to her, sharp to her, "What do you mean angry?" I get up from the table, and I turned around and started walking upstairs, and I said, it just struck me, I said, "Lord, what is it in me? Why am I angry? She never did anything for me to be angry at her. Why? But yet, why do I feel this angry? I've been pretty good at managing it, but it comes out now and then. Why? Why is that there?" And the Lord began to lead me through a whole process of dealing with anger in my life. But we have to question some things. When something is not right in life, don't think that that's just you. The enemy is a deceiver, and he'll try to get us to think that it's just you. You're just like that. Just the way I am. You know, I don't allow people to use that on me anymore. They have in the past. You know, I've heard, "Oh, Pastor, just don't mind me. That's just the way I am." You know, my idea is, well, why don't you start being the way Jesus wants you to be? And forget about just the way you are. Because we have to be real. We can't settle. And because that phrase, "That's just the way I am," is saying, "I'm just, leave me alone. I'm okay. I just want to continue and not deal with it." And so we want to be a people who are serious about being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So that's what it's all about. And so when we recognize that these things are happening in our lives, ask the question, "Lord, what is it? Why am I like this?" Now, let's look just for a moment in the book of Acts at the a couple of people who were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, interesting situation that happened here. Verse 14, "And when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might be received the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered money." Now, if we were to read the previous verses, we would see that Simon was caught up in witchcraft. He was a guy that was in witchcraft before he got saved. And he's seen this, and he offered them money, and he says, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." I love Simon's answer here. He said, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me." So we see here that the Simon, who was a guy who was caught up in witchcraft, he's seen something when the apostles laid hands on the believers. Something took place. And I'm assuming the same thing took place as happened in other places. They prophesied and spoke in other tongues when hands laid upon them were laid upon them. And he said, "Help me, give me this power so I can do that also." He's seen the benefit of it. And now, just quickly, let's go over to Acts chapter 19 again, and we'll see there when Paul laid hands on the church at Ephesus, It tells us how they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it happened when Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." I used to get really confused at that. I thought, how could you be saved and not hear about the Holy Spirit? But when I hear of missionaries coming from other lands and in China and India and so forth, and they tell me about the crazy doctrines that come, because they're so fragmented, there's not a lot of foundation of theology in these places at all, and they're so fragmented that the things that they believe is just absolutely incredible. I'm sure this is what happened when the Apostle Paul came here and he asked them about the Holy Spirit, if they had ever received it, and they said that we never even heard of what the Holy Spirit is. And in verse 3 he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And while Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And there was about 12 men in all. So here we see that one of the ways that the Holy Spirit came upon people is when people laid hands upon them. And that is one way to receive. I'm going to tell you about how I received the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Back in 1980, I got saved, and I began seeking the Lord, and I began getting really hungry for God, and the Word of God just seemed to come alive to me, and I just couldn't seem to get enough of it. I was going to a church who didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, didn't believe really that the Holy Spirit had a whole lot to do in your life at the time. But what happened was, I would listen to them, and I would read the book of Acts and so forth, and it didn't seem to line up. So I would keep seeking and praying, and then somebody, a friend of mine from Ontario, she doesn't even remember doing this now, but she sent my name and address into this a tape ministry in Paris, Ontario, and they would send me a couple of cassette tapes. I would listen to them and send them back, and then they would send me a couple more. And all I had to pay for was the postage to send them back. Anyway, there was a lot of teaching came to me in that way about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how to be filled with the Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues and all kinds of it. When I seen this, I said, wow, maybe I'm not wrong. Because, I looked at these other Christians and I thought, well, they've been Christians for 20 years. I mean, they know a lot more than I do. But yet it didn't settle right in my spirit. But when I got this teaching, I began to think, wow, that's great. Now, I didn't know anybody that spoke in tongues. I didn't know anybody that would claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit in the way that I've seen it. And so I was praying, Lord, I would ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I had really nobody to pray with me concerning that. Oh, I don't know how long I would seek God, and I would pray and ask God, and I was so sure. I was convinced that if I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I could speak in other tongues. And so I thought, well, I have to get filled with the Holy Spirit. How am I going to do that? And then this scripture that I shared with you tonight in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If you then being evil know to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And suddenly, I was sitting at the kitchen table. I can still remember this. Now, my wife, she was seeking God in that area as well. And I read that scripture, and all of a sudden I said, well, this is foolish. Either I'm going to believe the Word of God or not. The Word of God says that if I ask for the Holy Spirit, He'll give it to me. Well, I asked, so I must have Him. I must have the fullness of the Spirit because I asked. And so when I did that, I put my hands up, just sitting at the table, and I thought, okay, if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, then according to what I believe the Word of God says, I have the ability within me to speak in other tongues. So I stuck up my hands, and I started out with saying a couple of babbling words. I can't say it was the Holy Spirit, but I started to put into practice what I knew. And I didn't get a couple of syllables out, and suddenly from down here came a bubbling of praying in the Holy Spirit. And it just came forward, and I was just, the presence of God came with that. I was just absolutely thrilled. just sitting at my kitchen table there, praying in the Holy Spirit. I just always thought, you know, because of what the Word of God says about praying in tongues, I'd been studying about it, and I'd been studying about the fact that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 that he who prays in an unknown tongue does not speak unto man but unto God. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. And I thought, boy, I'll bet there's a lot of secrets and mysteries that need to be prayed out in my life. So whenever I start speaking in tongues, I'm going to pray a lot. I'm going to do it a lot. So I just kept on praying. And I walked upstairs because I was excited about it. And Debbie was in bed. And I walked upstairs and she heard me coming upstairs. And she sat up and she said, so you're speaking in tongues? I said, yeah. I didn't want to stop because I thought I may not get started again. And honestly, that's what I thought at the time. And so we talked for a little while. And then I went back downstairs and prayed in tongues and sang in tongues and just absolutely thrilled. The next day, we were at supper time. We were sitting down for supper, and Debbie said to me, she said, so you've got your prayer language. And I said, yes, praise God. And she said, well, I have too. And I said, what? She said, well, I just figured, God, if you can give it to him, you can sure give it to me too. And so she said, I just did the exact same thing you did, and I got the same results. And she told her sister, and her sister had the same thing happen. You know, it's been an awesome blessing in my life. I'm not one of these guys that started praying and then left it off. There isn't a day goes by, I don't think, that I can remember that I don't pray in other tongues. Not one day. Now, and I'm not saying that I get down on my knees and I take special time. I might sit some days driving along in the car or whatever. But I always pray in tongues every day. And I believe that was one of the most significant things in my Christian experience that has helped me to stay steady with the Lord. I can remember hearing an old guy one night when after we got saved, seemed like a lot of people kind of gathered around and we'd get some Bible studies going. And I invited this man to come and speak to us one night. And he was a very elderly man. And he got up and he was kind of wound up, and I'll never forget his statement. He said, I've been saved for 55 years and I got no backsliding story to tell about either. And I thought, that's where I want to place my life. That I get saved today and I'm going to follow through and I'm going to remain faithful and I'm not going to fall away for, you know, a number of years like we hear so many stories like that. I'm going to stay steady. And I know it was God's help that has helped me all these years. I know it's been his power that has enabled me to walk before him and to go through the things that Debbie and I have gone through since we got saved, many, many issues that we have had to deal with. And it's wonderful. I could stand here and tell you faith stories all night about some of the things that God has done for us and in our financial situation and things like that. And I could say, well, it's wonderful and fun to talk about them now, but it sure wasn't fun going through them. It was real difficult times going through them and even dealing with the issues in a person's life. But it's the Spirit of God that keeps us. It's the Spirit of God that holds us steady. We cannot count on the empire that we build up around us. Whether we drive nice cars, whether we have nice homes, whether we got a healthy bank account, all the rest of it, we can't count on those things for our security. It has to be God in every area. He's the one that has to have first place in their life. Remember Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. And so I want to pray for you tonight, just before we leave. First of all, I knew a man years ago who lived in, was missionary in Ethiopia. He was from a traditional background that didn't believe the gifts of the Spirit were for today or anything. Of course, when he got over to Ethiopia, there was a whole lot more devils to deal with there. They would take people and they would... It'd just take weeks, it seemed, to try to deal with people and minister to people and try to get them free from demonic forces, real powerful demonic forces. And he said he heard about this group over in another town or somewhere. They were Pentecostals. He heard about them getting people free very quickly. So he went down there and he seen them minister and he seen them casting out devils and so forth. And he said they were doing it. So it seemed like there was a power that he knew nothing about. Now, you have to look at it. This man was a missionary, so he wasn't just your average layperson. He loved God and wanted to serve God and so forth. And he did have a real heart of God. He went a number of times, and he said, man, he said, he finally decided, I've got to get this because I can't help my people the way I am. I just feel helpless. I've got to get what they got. And so he went down there, and of course, they were talking about being filled with the Spirit and speaking in other tongues and so forth. And so he went for it. And he got filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. He said, just totally transformed him. He began ministering and getting people set free and so forth. And his wife was watching him. She came under the same traditional background as her husband, but she had a lot more, I don't know what you'd call it, religion than her husband. She watched him and she realized that that's what she needed, the power, but she had not wanted nothing to do with those tongues. She would go and watch these people and so forth, and she would get them to pray over her, but nothing happened. And she got so frustrated after a while, she said, Lord, I don't understand this, what tongues is all about, everything, but if that's what I got to get the Holy Spirit to have power in this way, then give it to me. And she was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking other tongues. Now, when I said that, when that little story would almost make you think that you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit unless you speak in tongues. But with some people, that may be an issue. There might be a religious issue there that she has to deal with in order to let go, in order to receive the Holy Spirit. See, that thing can be a stumbling block and keep you from receiving. And so when she let go of that condition, see, she had that condition on it. When she let go of that condition, then the Holy Spirit came in. Because, you know, if I go to, you know, using that $1,000 example again, if I was to go to give you $1,000 tonight, and I said, just because you came tonight, well, you looked at me and said, well, I'll take it as long as I don't have to come next week. That'd be a condition. Well, you don't deal with God that way. God, you take it, and with no conditions. And if you do put a condition, the first thing he'll do is deal with that condition. Because he wants to release us. He wants us to walk in freedom, to be able to receive from him. There's so many stories I could tell about the power of the Holy Spirit being revealed. And that's really what we're after. We're after the Holy Spirit. We're after his guidance and direction. We're after his anointing. We're after his presence. If he gives us tools, like the Bible says that he who prays in an unknown tongue does not pray unto men but unto God. And he who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. And that word edify simply means to build up, to charge up like a battery. So when we spend time praying in tongues, we actually get charged up. It's like plugging into an electrical thing and get charged up. So it's an awesome benefit. But the Holy Spirit is not tongues. And we don't want to get confused. The Holy Spirit is not tongues. The Holy Spirit is a person. And the Holy Spirit can be lied to. The Holy Spirit can be insulted. The Holy Spirit can be grieved, just the same way as we can be lied to, insulted, or grieved. And when we lie or insult or grieve the Holy Spirit, how many of us like being around people who do that to us? Well, the Holy Spirit is no different. He desires to be honored the way we desire to be honored in our own homes and so forth. He desires for us to welcome him, welcome into our homes, into our lives and so forth. He desires us to respect him, respect his presence, and respect the things that he has to give. I am convinced, talking about the gift of tongues, I am convinced that speaking in tongues is a doorway to understanding supernatural things. Or, no, I shouldn't say it that way, to operating in supernatural things at a greater level. I'm convinced of that. I could be wrong, but I'm convinced of that in my own experience, that speaking in tongues seems to be a doorway to the supernatural. That just the way there are doorways to the supernatural in the demonic realm. For instance, drugs is a doorway into the super. I've done enough drugs to know that when you get over there, it is like you are on another planet. And it's a real spiritual experience. It's things you can really experience on drugs that bring you into a supernatural place. And of course, it's demonic. There's all kinds of trash tied with it. Now, on the other hand, there are doorways to positive, supernatural, godly, spiritual, supernatural experiences. Tongues is one of them. We dare not experience supernatural things some other way than God's way. Remember, Jesus taught about the good shepherd comes in through the door, or he who is a thief and a robber climbs in some other way. Well, when we try to experience supernatural things some other way than through Jesus and his way, we end up getting things that we don't want.